Today is a continuation from last week, so it's going to be very short and succinct. I believe we have a barbecue after that. And so let's go ask God's blessings and guidance for an area that we need a great understanding in, especially the mind. Father, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to grant unto us, O Lord, grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the riches of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. Open our eyes to see. Open our hearts to understand. Open our ears to hear the voice of your Spirit. And cause us, Lord, to discern your voice, the images, the visions, the impartations, the flow of your Spirit, that we could understand you better. For we live in a world of spirit. We live in the physical world, but we live in the spiritual world at the same time. Cause us to be aware of the things in the spirit world. And help each one even right now to enter the sphere of your Spirit. And we will give you all the glory, worship, and honor for all that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now, you all have, we're going to answer some questions by the end of today. Of course, we have already answered the question, did the chicken come first or the egg? All right. Then, so everybody here understands that the Bible tells us that the chicken came first. So that's an answer that if you believe the Bible, it's settled. Now we raised a few questions last week that we will have to get answered today. It's pretty good discussion after lunch last week, after raising some topics. So let's see where we are at and how we progress. Do thoughts come first or emotions come first? How many of you say thoughts come first? Let's see some hands. Right, okay. Be brave about your stand. Right? You can change your stand during the whole message. Right. How many of you say emotions come first? Alright. Stephen is raising both hands. You say emotions come first? Okay, it's undecided. The rest of you did not raise any hands. You're uncommitted. Okay, well, what's the third question? Okay, yeah, that's right. So, some of you say it could be either and different in either circumstances. Alright, let's give you the third choice. How many of you say that? Now, I wonder what happened to the rest. As you seek to answer the question, it all came about as we look at the book of James. And we were studying on mine and we came across the scripture in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That is when someone asks and is doubting in verse 6 and verse 7. And the person is a double-minded man. Now verse 6, doubts are part of the thought process. And then it says that the person is a double-minded man. And that phrase occurs again in James chapter 4 when he talks about drawing near to God. And he talks about the passions that war in our members. Remember to always look at the context of a scripture. Chapter 4 verse 1, when wars and fights come from among you, do they not come from your desires for pleasure, the war in your members? So he's talking about the struggles of the lust of the flesh against the things of the spirit. And he concludes here in telling us in verse 7 and 8 to submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8, James 4 verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again using the phrase double-minded. Interestingly, only in the book of James is this expression used throughout the whole New Testament. Two times it's used. And the word double-minded comes from a Greek word which means which is Daya Suke. Strictly speaking, translated Suke means is translated soul. So it means double soul. Literally translated double soul. And that's how we were exploring what caused this double-mindedness. And because this seems to be something that needs to be cured. Obviously, it's a very important point. Because as long as you're double-minded, according to James chapter 1, your prayers will never be heard. It says, if you ask, and in verse 6, he doubts like the wave of the sea, let him not suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. Look at verse 7. He's not going to receive anything. His prayers are not going to make much difference, whatever areas of prayer you're doing. So it's an important point in order to walk. We've got to understand this dimension. And so we were talking about what's that portion of our heart and of our mind that causes a person to be double-minded is deep within the soul area. And we are wrestling with whether is the emotions influencing the thoughts or thoughts causing the emotion. We know thoughts do cause emotions. We know emotions are related to thoughts. But which came first was a question we were trying to answer. Your bet is on the chicken. So, I bring forth to you a little bit of research. And some of this research, bear in mind, number one, their conclusions of the same facts and data may be different from ours because we have a spiritual perspective. So some of this research I bring from medical research and science, maybe their conclusions may be different because they don't have a Bible perspective from the same data. However, I will present their research as it is first. Then we analyze it. Right? So doesn't mean that I agree with all their conclusions. Now, their facts and data, you cannot dispute. Facts are facts. Data is data. But how you analyze the data, what conclusions you get from the data is where we can dispute. First of all, we did ask a question, which came first, thoughts or emotions? And some of you took a stand thoughts, some of you took a stand emotions, some of you say one or the other. Let's trace back to a little baby who is born. Do their emotions form first or do their thoughts form first? There's a research done. I collect all this data for illustrations. Taking from one of the data that was printed in February 24th, 1997 in a Time magazine. The main picture is a child's brain. How it develops. And from some of the data that they have, these are their observations. Remember, all data may be incomplete, which results in a wrong conclusion. And an experiment is still an experiment. And in the end, as we conclude today, we will go right back to the Word of God to draw some conclusions of what God's Word say in regard to all these things. Let me get the portion. In that little research. How many of you think that in a little baby, the thoughts form first? Thank you for the no show of hands. Some of your hands go very fast and it came down very fast. I can't see it. It's faster than light. How many think that emotions form first? Oh, we have a big group over there. Right. Here's their research as they... I don't know. Don't ask me how they did it, but they got a whole group of children, babies. The first thing that happens in the brain of a little baby born is wiring the vision. Babies can see at birth, but not in fine detail. They have not yet acquired the knack of focusing both eyes on a single object, or develop more sophisticated visual skills like depth perception, They also lack hand-eye coordination. So the first thing that develops is just the ability to see, to focus carefully. Then comes, within the first 6 months, among the first circuits the brain construct are those that govern the emotions. Beginning around 2 months of age, the distress and contentment experienced by newborns start to evolve into more complex feelings: joy, sadness, envy, empathy, pride, shame. And in 2 months, it starts developing. And third phase, language starts being formed. However, it says even before birth, an infant is tuning into the melody of its mother's voice. Over the next 6 years, its brain will set up the circuitry needed to decipher and reproduce the lyrics, the sounds of that are spoken. A six-month-old can recognize vowel sounds that are the basic building blocks of speech. So from 6 months onward, they start developing their speech. 2 months onwards, they're developing feelings. They're beginning to learn how to handle feelings. And then the next stage, the wiring of movement. At birth, babies can move their limbs, but in a jerky, uncontrolled fashion. Over the next 4 years, the brain progressively refines the circuits for reaching, grabbing, sitting, crawling, walking, and running. So you see the little baby coordinating their physical skills. So there is visual, emotions, thoughts, and language process, which doesn't complete until a child starts learning to talk. And then you have the physical coordination that's going on. Basically, to summarize the conclusion that they reach, they found that when the new child, a baby is born, that their brain, the connections are still being made in the brain within the first 3 to 4 to 5 years. And what happens is, for illustration's sake, it's like partitioning a hard disk on your computer. Before your computer can run, when we put your computer together, my expertise is IT, so we build computer from scratch. When you get a raw hard disk, the first thing we have to do is to partition your hard disk. We can either partition it as one big hard drive or two partitions, or three or four, as many as we want. So it seems that the first thing that takes place in the brain is partitioning. Sections of the brain start working on different things. For example, if you expose your little baby to classical music when the baby is born, something happens. Kum! One part, whole section of the brain seems to be kept aside for music. And then you expose your child to playing golf. Infant, give a golf stick, start swinging the arms. Pung! One section of the child had one whole section partitioned for playing golf. Right? Or other areas, or speech. Or you begin to pray in tongues with a little child. Pung! One section of the child partitioned all for praying in tongues, spiritual growth, whatever. That means that the more exposure a child has to different stimuli, the greater the chance that the child has when they develop different skills. Which is why when scientists research musicians, musicians who learn to be musicians after the age of 5 or 6, or who started learning from teenage, they are different from musicians that started when they were 1 or 2 years old.